here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Welcome, my good people. Welcome to the CJ Moneyway Show. And I'm with your host, CJ Moneyway. Let's get it.
What's up, my good people? This is your boy, CJ Moneyway, and you're here today on the CJ Moneyway Show. Today, I got with me author, entrepreneur. I got my man, Daryl, on the show today. How you doing, man?
I'm great. Thank you, CJ. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm glad to have you on the show today, man. To come tell your story, man, you know, I got your book here. Been reading your book, kind of a lot of fascinating things in there, man. A lot of, you know, things that some people won't come out and tell about themselves. So before we get started, I'd like to ask, are you still keeping an eye on your sister after all these years?
You know, not so much, man. She's on her own at this point. I did what I could, man. I nothing else I can do.
Yeah, I'll read that, man, when you say y'all used to go to the pit. And you guys used to go do your thing. And one day your sister came through and she was cleaning up everything. And you didn't know if she was doing it on her own admission or if your parents sat there and sent it out that way. But then it caught my eye when you said, but after that, I didn't know either way, but I had to start keeping my eye on her because she was a little, you didn't say that, but in paraphrase, she was a little snitch.
She was, man. It was not cool in any way, shape, or form. I protected her when she was young too. And I, you know, took care of her. And I, you know, I don't know how many people I had to put up against the wall because, you know, they were not being cool with my sister. And then she went and did that. Right.
So, yeah, you know, that's sometimes that's how they are, man, you know, to get the brownie points or whatever. So, yeah, I was reading that, you know, with being a tough guy when you was first made the team or whatever, and the guy was talking trash at the practice. Hey, what was intriguing to me about that part is that you said that you was taller than everybody already. And so he wanted to come pick with the tallest one in the group.
I don't know why. I don't know why. I mean, whatever. You know, he made his decision and that's how it worked out for him.
Yeah, that was funny to me, man. So, Dale, tell us about some of the challenges that you had in your life, man. That you faced in your life.
Yeah, and I don't think I said this yet, but thanks for having me on, CJ. I do appreciate it. And,
oh, man.
Yeah, very, very cool to be here. I appreciate it very much. So,
thank you, man. Appreciate you, bro.
Of course. So, you know, I grew up in Michigan and the Midwest, and at that time, Michigan was everybody's dad. And you may have experienced this too in the Midwest, CJ, but it was like everybody was had something to do with the auto industry. My dad was a mechanic, and everybody's dad seemed like they worked at either GM, Ford, or Chrysler. That was just kind of how it went. And you know, in that time, or they fed that industry somehow. So you know, a blue collar upbringing. I was taught work ethic. I was taught manners. I had a fairly strict household. My dad was in the Navy, and he was a pretty tough dude, and you know, not a guy to trifle with. So we didn't. which was, well, sometimes I guess we did, but not him directly. We just felt the wrath at times. And, you know, so it was strict. And then that was just the way it went. And I got involved with drugs and alcohol and that sort of thing. And I was, you know, 13, I think it seems like an age where a lot of people sort of get their start down that road if they're going down that road. And so, you know, it escalated fairly quickly. One thing I found that when I tried drinking and then, you know, just sort of moved into different drugs over time, it made me feel better than I felt just living my life. It made me feel better than I felt just being a person on this planet. And so I pursued that and I continued to pursue that. And I got involved in some, you know, harder drugs and got involved in dealing at one point. And, you know, there were times when that worked out okay and times when it didn't work out okay. But I was, you know, and a lot of people go through that stuff. A lot of people have addictions. A lot of people have, you know, challenges with those sorts of things. But do we come out of them and how does it happen for us? You know, some folks come out of it sort of naturally. I was, for better or worse, you know, it was more like an intervention for me. And so by the time I was 19 years old, I went into a drug and alcohol treatment program for 30 days. And that wasn't the end of my problems. That wasn't the end of the challenges. That was the beginning of a new set. So I'll leave it there for the moment just to, you know, kind of get the story going. And I guess we can take it from there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I understand what you're saying at a certain time too, because I remember coming up when we were younger, especially when I was younger, I had older cousins, and you know, back then me used to have a lot of house parties where the family come around and everybody get together every holiday and whatnot. And that's actually where I started drinking at. So like you say, it was at a young age, you going in the back, sneaking a beer, sneaking a little whiskey here and there, you know, whatever. Then as you was talking about in your book, then as weed came along, you know, now we're in there smoking weed. And I never forget, man, it was on the Christmas. And the family was over there. We went over to my cousin's house across the street. And we was smoking weed and came back in the house and, you know, eyes all red and glossy. And, you know, you get that feeling like you get paranoid. You don't want nobody looking at you and they know how you is, man. So I get it, man. You know, like I say, it was a lot of things, man. When I was reading your book, man, I was really, it was readable to me because I can relate to a lot of things that you were saying, you know, as far as some of the extended things that you went through, I didn't. So, you know, so it was still intriguing to hear how these type of things can lead you to certain places. What is the most important thing somebody can take away from your book, When I Stop Fighting?
I think if I was going to boil it down to one thing, I think it would be, you know, that there's a way to have a better life. There's a way to, you know, move life forward and move ourselves forward. And it's not a thing where, you know, we're stuck. I felt stuck in my life, and I felt, you know, and I got out of the drug treatment program, and I thought, you know, what am I going to do? And there were many points after that where I felt stuck, or I wasn't getting a fair shake, or things weren't going the way I wanted them to, and this and that. And so if I was going to boil it down to one lesson, it's, you know, you're not stuck and you can continue to persevere and you can continue to change no matter how old you are. And you know, for me, I wasn't necessarily planning on being an author. It sort of happened, and I know this is a long-winded answer, CJ, and I apologize, but
No. But, take your time.
You know, there's people that you can change. You can go in a different direction. You can do different things. I've done a ton of things in my life, and I've failed at a lot more things than I've been successful at things. But failure is just a stepping stone on the way to, you know, changing things and having a different sort of situation for ourselves. So So that's the biggest thing. Just, you know, you're not stuck. You can keep moving forward. You can keep changing. You can keep morphing yourself and your life. And it's just a matter of believing that and continuing to, you know, to head down that road.
Yeah. And I agree with you too. No matter how old you get, because a lot of times we don't really see things until we get older. Until you and already bumped your head and been in that pit, you know, over and over again. And as you said, a lot of it, we went through it, we did it, it was by our own admissions. Because as you, I grew up in a two-parent household myself. And although I had a father in the house and a mother in the house, I still tend to do things, you know, that I wanted to do. You know what I'm saying? It got me in some trouble. It got me going down some paths that I probably could have avoided if I had just listened. And so I'm glad you're on today so that we both can share similar stories, but in different ways to people, man, because a lot of times in this day and age, a lot of young people just don't want to listen. You know, they think that it can't happen to you. But here me and you are to tell you that it can happen to you. And if you keep going down that road, it will happen to you. So, yeah, so I agree with you 100% on that, man. So tell me about, you was talking about how you want to give back and pay it forward. So what actually is paying it forward to you really mean?
You know, when I got sober, and this goes back a long way, but when I got sober, I was young and I didn't think I had much to give or much to give back, or, you know, I just had to take care of myself. And like you just talked about, CJ, I mean, you got to bump your head, and I'm 6'6", so me bumping my head is not difficult. Literally and figuratively, I've bumped my head, you know, many, many times. I got a lot of scars actually to prove it. So, you know, giving back is crucial for me now. And one of the ways that I can give back, and one of the ways I've tried to give back, is honestly, it's my book. It's I want people to read it and to be able to relate. And you just talked about it, CJ. It's so important to, you know, I didn't listen either. I was a horrible listener. I didn't care what anybody said about anything. I was just going to go try it myself. And I would dive into things and I would get the crap kicked out of me, you know, whether it was a new job or business or, you know, relationship or just life stuff. You know, you dive in and I did. I wasn't a great thinker before I went in. I was just dive in, and that's what I did. So as I got older in, you know, in being sober and recovery and that sort of thing, it's very important that we give back as you know, as a sober community. I got involved in the 12 steps, and that was a big thing for me to, it was kind of like a roadmap for life. And part of that roadmap is to keep it and to earn it, you have to give it away. And so I did a lot of that at, you know, in 12 steps and sponsored people and helped people and mentored people and that sort of thing, just like I was sponsored and helped and mentored by many people. So it's just a part of my fabric now to try to give back. And as I've helped people, and it doesn't matter if it's the sober community or the recovering community or not, you know, I believe we have responsibility that as we learn things, you know, it's important to reach back and help younger people. And you just mentioned it, to try to avoid those pitfalls, at least tell them, you know, at least tell them, hey, there's a hole there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And if you want to fall in the hole, fall in the hole. But I'm going to try to get you to not fall in the hole because I fell in the hole 17 times.
Yeah.
And it sucks. Mm-hmm. Right. So anyway, that's sort of culminated, and I've tried to help younger people my entire life, whether it's in business or, you know, whatever it is. And the culmination of that for me was this book. And I've got another book that I'm going to be publishing in July. So, and that one is more oriented toward, you know, the first one's my story. The second one is okay. Let's look at everybody's trajectory in life, and, you know, where are we going, where are we headed, and understand that and try to change the trajectory as we go. So Mm-hmm. So it's become my entire life at this point.
Yeah, you know, you said something about the hole, and earlier we were talking about the younger people. It was funny because a couple of weeks ago I was just talking to somebody, and we were saying that we've been around the block a few times, and so I've been in this area. I've been around the block, and so I got somebody, a younger person, walking behind me. Now I know that it's a hole at the end of this block right here. I know it is. And I'm telling you that it's a hole over there. But because you don't want to listen, you go before me and do what? Fall right in that hole that I told you was there. And so it's very vital that when people hear somebody like yourself or somebody like me or any other man or woman that's actually trying to help you and not hurt you, sometimes you just need to listen, because my goal is, you know, I have kids, people that I talk to a lot. Every job that I've been on, I've had somebody that I would mentor, whether it's I call my little sister or my little brother, because as you said, is that it sometimes it feels as though once you've been through some things and God and brought you out of some things and set you on solid ground and having you to see clear, that it's important to pass that along, as we were saying, to pay it forward, man, because life in itself is not just all about you. Sometimes we go through things for other people. just for this moment right here, just for this book right here, we go through things so that somebody like Dale Dimmer can sit here and put it in the book to save somebody else, to turn away from their wicked ways, just so that they can be saved. You know, so yeah, I get it, man, and I appreciate you doing that too and sharing your story. So,
thank you.
Tell us, man, at what point in your life, you know, well, you say that you was down and you had a low life at the lowest of your life. At what point did you decide to turn a leaf?
You know, it wasn't when I was, you know, that intervention, you know, where I was asked to go see that drug counselor, which I actually ended up doing. It wasn't when I saw the drug counselor. It wasn't when he told me I was going into treatment. It was a couple of days before treatment. So I went into this drug and alcohol treatment program on January 3rd of 1985. And a couple days before that was New Year's Eve. So we're going into 1985. And I remember that point in my life. And I remember just being miserable. I remember being in a place. I don't know. I don't remember where I was, but I was around a lot of people. It could have been 100 people, could have been 200 people. I have no idea, but it was a big gathering or party or whatever it was. And at that point, I was probably the loneliest I'd ever been in my life. And, you know, there was probably some feeling sorry for myself stuff going on, whatever. But I, at that point, it crossed my mind, I may not want to be on this planet anymore. And so that was a point where, and that didn't necessarily, you know, change me completely, but it was a point where I was on the floor, and I don't mean literally, I mean figuratively. I was on the floor, I was done, and I was willing to listen. And that was the point where things started to change. And even if my trajectory went up, you know, say I was like this, even if it went like that, you know, it might have been an inch where I changed, but it was enough to open the door a little bit and let a little bit of light in so that I could continue to change over time.
Yeah, you know, I understand what you're saying too. It's when you get to that point of humbleness, when you humble yourself. Because as you said, you know, I remember reading in your book, and you kind of, you didn't touch on it, but you said something to that effect, that after you got with the alcohol, what your sister did, and you said you were 16 years old, and when your parents confronted you about it, that's when we get to that point where I'm grown. I can do what I want to do. You know, I got my own mindset that I can do what I want to do. And so, as we've been talking about, so these decisions at that age or whatever, maybe in your 20s, it leads us down the path that we chose to go to, not knowing 6 years ago that at 22, that this was going to be the path that I was going to be taking because of the decision that I made 6 years ago, you know, because I didn't want to listen, because I didn't want to humble myself. And then the pride come in, and then you like I was reading too, where you say, and let's touch on that a little bit about the expectations of when you're being pulled from one side to another side, because you said that you wanted to be with the cool kids, but it was expectations from others. It was expectations from others that knew that you had potential to succeed in life.
Yeah, that was tough. And that was tough for a long time, you know, as far as my life went, and, you know, sober or not sober, but, and that's where all that insecurity was, you know, that stuff that was just inside of me that was like just boiling. Mm-hmm. Because on one hand I had teachers and parents and, you know, whatever else that thought like, okay, he's a kid that, you know, could potentially do something, coaches, you know, all that stuff that, and on the other hand, I had, you know, all my boys who were like, let's do this, let's do this, let's do this. And yeah, and I went this way, you know, I went with them, but all the while trying to hide it from the other people. And that's a terrible place to be. That is just a terrible place to be, because I think it would be easier if I just didn't care, you know, but I had that like tug of war going on inside of me where I didn't want to let the people down who thought I could do something, but I also didn't want to let, you know, my boys down who were, you know, hey, let's try this drug, let's do this, let's do that, let's, you know, whatever, all the trouble and all that sort of thing. So that's a tough spot to be. And I did not, and I remember that tug of war inside of me that even lasted, you know, it lasted for years even after I got sober. Because, you know, the interesting thing about getting sober is you don't necessarily change because you got sober.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply. People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
It's a great time to save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Get free estimates fast on new energy-efficient windows from Jeld-Wen. Choose from vinyl or wood windows and customize the perfect size and unique features for your home. Save big on all Jeld-Wen windows today. View our entire selection of Jeld-Wen windows on Menards.com. Plus, the weekly flyer for other great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Have the opportunity to change once you get sober. So, you know, I had to go down that road to figure all those things out after I, you know, let go of the drinking and the drugs.
Yeah, I mean, like, just listening to what you said, and you know, it's like, now I got to start over. You know what I'm saying? Like all the things, I got to figure things out all over again. It's like retraining. But I'm listening to you, and we're old. We're both old enough to know the Flintstones, right?
Yeah.
And so it was back in the day when Fred had the good angel on one shoulder and the bad angel on the other shoulder, tugging them like, "No, go do this," and then like, "No, don't go do that." and I mean, we can laugh at it and everything, but in all actuality, as you have just confirmed, and I know myself. We can laugh at it, but that actually, that's a part of life.
Oh, it's real.
It's real. You know, it's definitely real where you can get pulled here and there. You know, like, I want to hang out with my homies and like you say, do this and go out there and fight and drinking or whatever, you know. But then I have potential to actually succeed in life, you know, as far as basketball skills. I was pretty decent there. I probably wasn't as good as you at 6'6", but I wasn't bad. But when you don't even give yourself a chance to do what God has sent you to do with the talents that he sent you with, it can be very discouraging. Because a lot of times, and I don't know about you, but I would just say this, because a lot of times the people that you put your life on the line for, they're not even around no more.
Right on.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Right on.
So, you know what I'm saying? And so, it comes that clarity that when we get that peace of mind and get to ourselves and writing books and, you know, being filled with different things, that's a fulfillment. Like, man, just think about all the years that I wasted that he had already gave me all these tools and abilities to do. I mean, more people we could have reached, you know, if we hadn't went astray for X amount of years. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, man. Like I said, this book was interesting to me, and I would suggest or advise anybody that has any type of struggles or going through anything in life and how you can bounce back from some things, man. This is a good book right here. For real, because you can tell I read it because I can quote some things from it. How it was two of y'all that used to go to the pit, and then it was some more guys that moved, and their father bought them motorcycles. So y'all had a little motorcycle. Y'all had a little motorcycle gang.
We thought we were something, man. We thought we were something. Little did we know.
So, Dan, let me ask you a question, man. Despite all of the challenges that you said, you know, you say you had to go to rehab when you were 19. Well, how was this transformation in your life where you were still able to go to college and play ball?
You know, I loved basketball. I loved basketball. And it got set aside. I put in the book, I got a letter from University of Wisconsin Stout when I was in high school. And the lady that came and said, "Hey, I got this letter and, you know, check it out." And I didn't care. You know, at that point I didn't care, which is crazy to me to think about that now. But I love the game and I love the competition. And I've always been a pretty fierce competitor. And so I got sober, and there's another story around another small school that I actually visited with a friend of ours who had his head together. He was not one of us, you know, crazy people. And Anyway, so he, you know, I looked at it as a day off school. He's like, hey, you want to go talk to the basketball coach? I'm going to talk to the football coach. I'm like, okay, day off school. I'm in. Sign me up. So anyway, I got out of treatment and I thought, you know, I would really love to go play somewhere. And I didn't contact the University of Wisconsin again. I contacted a small school that was not too far from where I lived, probably 50 miles. And I had no idea how I was going to pay for it. I had no idea how it was going to go. I had no idea of anything. But I found out that you can load up with student loans and I can work harder. And I started a little business once I got to college. And, you know, I was on academic probation because my grades were pretty bad in high school. And I think the basketball coach had something to do with working some of that stuff out. But I just figured I'd do everything I could to make it happen. And it happened. And I was very happy that it did, not from the perspective of going to college, but that I got to realize a goal of playing basketball that I completely set aside when I was doing the drinking and the drugs.
Yeah, you know, I was listening to the beginning of what you said. I mean, it's fascinating how you got out of rehab, but then you had a friend who wasn't doing the things that you and your other guys was doing, that had a clear head, and you went with him. It's just amazing how he will put people in our paths, you know, to go in a direction that we didn't even know that we were going in. You know what I'm saying? And it's good to have friends like that. You know, not even knowing that this would open up a whole nother opportunity, because now going off to college was a way for you to just get away from the things that you were accustomed to and get a whole different mindset. Because I was reading what you would say, where you said that you run into all kind of dogs in the park, you know, dogs that want to be left alone, dogs that want to run around each other, dogs that want to play, you know, and that's just how it is, man. You know what I'm saying? And man, so I'm glad that you was able to get that experience. And I know you're more happy that you got that experience, which leads me to this. I don't know if you met this guy there or if it was a friend of yours in the past, but tell us, man, tell us, when you and your guy packed up your Kia, or whatever, or what you said, you had your hatchback.
Geostorm.
Yeah, Geostorm, your hatchback, and y'all went traveling the world. Tell me, man, because it seems like you're a very adventurous guy. Me, personally, I'm scared of heights. How was it climbing on these bridges, man, and these signs that you said that you were climbing on?
I wouldn't do it now, I'll tell you that. If I fall from 2 feet above the ground, I'm toast, man. My body's a little beat up. You know, that was actually, and there was one time when I got up on this bridge, and it was one of those old metal bridges that kind of goes up like this, and then a little like that, and then, and so it's probably about, you know, this wide where you can walk on. And I had done some carpentry, so I was used to walking on 2x4s that were that big. But, you know, I'd fallen too. There was a story in there about me falling off a roof. And, you know, I had fallen before, but I went up this one bridge, and, you know, there's a road on the one side of the bridge, and then, you know, which is the bridge. And then the other side goes way down. I don't know how many feet it was, probably 100 feet down to this river.
Mm.
And I'm up there, and I have my camera in my hand, and I'm trying to take a picture of my boy, and he's taking a picture of me on the bridge, and I put the camera up to my eyes, and I started wobbling a little bit. I'm like, oh man, I better not do that. So I mean, I don't know why I climbed. I really don't. I wouldn't do it now. I mean, not that I can, but I don't. You know, I don't know what got into me. I think I was it was the first time I'd ever done anything like that. It's the first time I just kind of like said, all right, screw it. I'm going to quit my job. And he and I are going to run around the country for a month. And, you know, until we ran out of money, until we got these, you know, in college, you get things from the credit card company. It's like, oh, we'll give you $1,000 worth of credit, or we'll give you $500 worth of credit. And we got like three of those. And, you know, that was kind of what we ran around the country with. And then whatever, you know, we had any cash saved from, you know, our jobs or whatever. And and we ran out of money. I remember being, I think it was Oklahoma, but I had, remember Unical 76, the gas stations.
Gas
stations. I had a Unical 76, which was a gas card. And I had like $7 left on my Unical 76 card. And I went in and bought the last food that I could buy and, you know, put the rest in gas in the car. And thank God Willie had a couple of bucks left over, because I had nothing at that point. It was over. It was just over. So we had to get home.
Oh, man. Toasted. Man, I know that had to be like a traumatic experience right there, because if you ran out of gas, that was it. That was it. But yeah, man. So, what made you decide to write and publish your lifestyle?
You know, there was a time, it was probably 20 years ago now, and I was telling some story to my wife, and she was probably my girlfriend or fiance at that point. But I would tell her some crazy story, and she'd say, you know, she'd look at me and like, well, that's, I don't see it. You know, that's not you anymore. And at that point, I had been sober and, you know, for like 20 years. So anyway, I'm telling her these stories and she's looking at me, and I say, well, you know what? Remind me to write a book someday. So that was kind of where it started. And probably over the next 19 years, I wrote, you know, three paragraphs, because I just didn't focus on it. And I had other stuff going on. I had other stuff to do. And after COVID, we moved down to North Georgia, and just because we needed to just start something new and change where we were and, you know, whatever, a myriad of reasons. But then I said, you know what, I've got some availability now. I got some time. I'm just going to bang out this book. And so within, I don't know, probably 2 or 3 months, I wrote that book that you showed, the When I Stop Fighting book. And then within 5 months, I had written another book, which is the one that's coming out in July. So that was kind of how it happened. And, you know, when I got focused on writing and I got focused on, you know, just thinking about how can I give something back to the world, even if I'm gone, you know, 50 years from now, if somebody picks that thing up and gets something out of it, I'm happy, you know? So that's kind of how it went down.
Yeah, I mean, because like you say, when you write a book, it's there to the end, you know. And I never forget when I wrote my book, or when I was writing my book, as you were saying, that my cousin, she came to me with a book, and it was called Ice Something. I can't remember the name of it. It was called Ice Sight. But man, you know, that book was like over 100 years old.
Oh, wow.
Like literally like 100 years old. So it's amazing how sometimes when we do things, and whether it's for the time now or it can be for times later, you know, like generations that you did something in life where your grandkids can pick up this book and say, oh, man. My great 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 granddaddy wrote a book, When I Stopped Fighting, and you know, they get something out of it. You know, you know what I'm saying? It's just,
yeah,
you know, it's just an amazing feeling, man, when you can accomplish something that you set out to do, especially when you come from the trenches like we come from. You know what I'm saying? Because you said something that made me think about it. You said something about your wife, and sometimes when people meet us, we're in the pit. And so not saying that your wife did this, but I'm just saying in general that sometimes we're in the pit. They met us in the pit. And so they still try to come to us and think that our relationship is still them meeting me in that pit. I was just hearing a guy talk about this the other day, but I'm out of that pit. I'm not in that pit no more. You know what I'm saying? I'm not in this situation no more. I've risen from that, but you're still trying to talk to me and come to me as if I'm still that person. I'm not.
That's so true, man. You know, there's something that I've lived by, and I was told early on that once you change the game, you got to change the players. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to change who you're around, and not even, you know, not just that, but, and I did that, but You can't let people in the door who are from that same sort of way, you know, and I think that's incredibly crucial and a great point. You know, it's the game has changed and so I've changed and I don't have room for that at all anymore. You know, anybody who tries to get in my door that's you know, going to mess around and do that kind of stuff, they're not getting in.
Hey, I just did a post today because sometimes you start feeling some type of way. You said something earlier that made me think about it, especially when you start doing creative things and moving out and being elevated to do certain things. You said sometimes you just feel alone. You know, you got this lonely feeling like ain't nobody really understanding what I'm trying to do, or you don't get the support that you think that you would get, or you know what I'm saying, things like that. So I just put a post out there today. What you just said, I did a jet. I said, this jet taking off, but I feel bad for in an instant because there's some people that I had to leave behind.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It is what it is. You know, I've made up my mind. You can't let people stop you from your journey because they don't understand your journey or because they don't want to walk with you through your journey. I mean.
Right on. No, 100%, man. So, so true.
It is what it is. So, man, my last question for you, Daryl, man, I'll let you go. What advice would you give a person looking for peace and prosperity?
You know, probably the first and most important thing is, and you mentioned it earlier, CJ, and I think it's so important. I have to humble myself and I have to know really in here that I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing, to understand that I don't know. And I heard a definition many, many years ago about that humble, another way to say humble is to say teachable.
Mm.
And being teachable is absolutely crucial because there's so much out there. I have seen and experienced and explored so many ways, you know, that have to do with finding God, with having to find, you know, whatever, however I, you know, choose to believe or whatever I believe God is for me in my life, you know, and that can be different for everybody, you know, and that's completely cool. But being open to exploring and being open to learning and understanding what resonates, you know, like what feels good in here, what feels right in here. The what I grew up, you know, I grew up in a religious household and that wasn't the right thing for me. It wasn't, you know, that you get handed this box of stuff like, hey, you got to believe all this. And I'm like, a lot, some of that stuff, I'm not feeling it, you know, and I'm not feeling it in my gut and in my heart. And so I explored to the point where I found things that resonated. I found things that I knew were right for me and for my life. So, and that has a lot to do with the peace part. And I think peace, you know, prosperity can follow that peace, because if you can find that peace and you have the willingness and the work ethic and the drive to go do something different. A big part of prosperity for me is being happy with what I have.
Mm-hmm.
Being happy with what I have, but knowing, all the while knowing, that there's something different and there's something bigger and there's something more. But I know for me, it all starts here. So I hope that helps some folks. And it was my road and it was my journey. And I don't ever tell anybody to, you know, or ask them to do anything at all. I just say, hey, here's what I experienced. And if it helps you, then, you know, that makes it worth it to me.
Yeah, yeah. I get that, man. And I appreciate you coming on, telling your story. And I hope that when your new book come out, man, that you enjoyed yourself enough to come on and share that. Let's chop it up some more, man. It's been very interesting. So
100%.
Is there anything besides your new book that you have coming out in July? Is there anything else, that any other projects that you have on the horizon that, you know, we can look forward to?
Well, you know, I'm gonna make you a guest on my podcast, CJ, if you want to come on, man. I'd love to have you.
Oh, man, I'd love to be on. You're the first person to ask me on their podcast, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. I'm just getting started, but you know, I've loved our conversation. I think it's been great. And, you know, just going back and forth, man, it's how I learned and it's how other people learn. So I've got the podcast that I just started. I'll send you an invite to it in the next probably 2-3 weeks. Okay. To get you on, but between that and the book, I mean, those are really the big things, you know, that I'm trying to sort of get on the street right now.
Okay, man. So is there anywhere, can you tell the people where they can find you at, your social media links or things of that nature, your website?
Yeah, my website is Daryl Dittmer, DarylDittmer.com. I think it's on the thing here. So, DarylDittmer.com. I'm on Facebook and Instagram. I'm terrible at those. I'm just getting going. But those are both under When I Stop Fighting. Okay. And then Twitter, I'm on as my name, but there's an E in the middle of it. So Daryl E. Dittmer. That's the best place to find me.
Okay. So yeah, man. So I appreciate you coming on, man. I enjoyed your story. Like you said, I enjoyed your conversation as well. Thank you for even thinking about inviting me to your podcast platform, man. I'd be honored to be on there. And so I guess we're going to wrap it up, man.
Sounds great, CJ. Thanks so much. I really appreciate your time. I appreciate the great questions and I appreciate you. So thank you.
You have been listening to the CJ Moneyway Show with my man, Daryl. Hey, go pick up his book, When I Stop Fighting. Very good read. Hey, this your boy CJ Moneyway. I'm out.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply. People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.